Welcome to the Oblivious Maximus podcast. My name is Ben Searle. With me, as always, is
Aaron Osborne.
Also here more than I ever was.
Yep, that's
fine. But with us this week, we have comedian and great person, Prue Blake. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me. Comedian and great person.
Yeah.
That seems like the beginning of a cancellation, doesn't it? Like, once you start branding and having like nice in your brand, you're like, oh.
Nice guy.
Yeah. That's going the way of Ellen DeGeneres.
You're thanks for coming back, Prue. For those who know the inner workings of the admin of this podcast, Prue,
we fucked it,
and it ended up just being a big fucking muck around that the screen wasn't showing the proper thing, and it just looked like it wasn't recording. And then turns out it was.
Oh, it was the whole time.
Recorded the whole thing.
Really?
We were fine. Yeah. And like, it was like the second you left, we did a little bit of searching. Was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And we've been on such a roll as well. No, yeah. We've been riffing, we've been rolling.
And it was like an annoying time to finish up because it was like probably 10 more minutes. That's a pod.
It's a whole pod.
Yeah.
We just fucked it. We just cooked it big time.
So if anyone thinks that me and Ben are really good at this from how it looks, you're dead wrong.
You're dead wrong.
It's not quite as smooth as they make it out. No. I didn't think you were going to admit it, boys, to be honest.
Well, you know, own my mistakes.
Good on you, being transparent, letting the people know.
Well, there was the other week I uploaded the long audio and we're like, oh, we've got to put the name of the person on the file rather than just a number. So we're just learning, you know, trial by error, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's important. Make mistakes. Take risks.
That's it. That's what we're doing.
Fuck me around.
You want to come out to fucking Coburg again?
Oh, I got nothing on anytime.
Well, I mean, speaking of having nothing on, it's probably the busiest time for any comedian.
Couldn't have more on.
Couldn't have more on. It's been very busy.
You are in the thick of your show.
The thick of it.
It's called Concrete Pigs. How's it going?
Concrete Pigs at the Comedy Festival. I've done, I think, 8 now out of 22.
Wowee.
Rough time.
Yeah.
It's actually been really fun. It's been going really well.
Yeah,
and I'm having a lot more fun doing the show than I did with my last show, which was my kind of only goal for this one.
Yeah.
Just being like, I just want to enjoy it on stage.
Why do you think it's feeling better than the last one? Just you worked it more or?
Worked it, definitely put way more work into it. And knew kind of what I was doing a little bit more and what it felt like. Like making that jump, like before you do an hour, you've really only kind of done 20 minutes max. And that's rare to get it.
Yeah.
So to figure out how to translate your voice and your comedy and what you're doing to an hour. Like, I don't think anyone's an hour's worth of interesting. Controversial to say on a podcast.
Yeah, we'll cut this off at 59.
But people are listening to this in the car. Like, in the room, it's a bit different.
In the room and, like, fully engaged. And like, a podcast is three heads trying to make it work rather than just you on stage.
Yeah, and so when we talked to you last time, you were about to go to Adelaide. You've since done that now.
Yep.
Another reveal on the pod.
Big reveal. Can you believe?
The
history.
Of time.
Whoa.
But how was it going over there and doing the show?
Adelaide was interesting. I'd never been before.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of go to Adelaide, whether this is rude to say or not, you go with something that's not very formed.
Sure.
But it is also a fringe festival, right?
Like it's
meant to be a bit loose, right?
Yeah, it's meant
to
be loose.
That's what we're telling ourselves.
It's meant to be loose. I mean, if it was going to be really loose, it should be marked as a work in progress, I guess. But
that's not really done here,
Hard to sell.
Yeah, hard to sell.
I mean, it's hard to sell as is. But
yeah, don't say it's not good.
Yeah. You can't be like, hey, you don't know who I am, but let me try some stuff that might not work.
Yeah. Well, I won't name the comedian, but we had like a bigger act drop into Catfish right before Adelaide and try a joke and then go, yeah, that punchline's good enough for Adelaide. That was a bit of fun.
You guys hate me. I mean, Catfish, I feel like they set quite a high bar for punchlines. Mm. They're not the easiest audience to please.
They can be a little rough sometimes. They're discerning.
What can I say?
Yes. We put on a good show.
They've got taste. but Adelaide, it was an interesting time. It was an interesting city. I thought I was going to like the city a lot more than I did.
Had you been there much before?
I've never been.
Right, first time.
Yeah, first time. And what? I was like, it's going to be so nice. There's the park. And we were staying in an incredible house. Like, this is the weird thing about doing fringe festivals, particularly when you're a new comedian. You get accommodation and you're like, well, I'm losing money, but I am staying in a much nicer place than my than my regular life.
I mean, I feel like that whenever I go, like whenever I go on tour or play shows or whatever, and the hotel is nicer than my house, I'm like, I can do this all the time.
But then road you go and you're in like a grim motel with like, like decades of cigarette smoke clinging to the curtains. Oh, and you're going, I don't know if these sheets have ever been washed.
No. I hate that thing where it's they just put two sheets over a duvet and you can like see the duvet very easily.
That kills
that's,
me.
That's got to be the most yuck experience
particularly
you can get.
If you're staying for more than one night. I can get away with that.
Yeah.
More than one. Now you're like, oh, now I have just like naked duvet touching me.
Well, I don't understand. Is it just a cleaning thing?
It must be just like a convenience thing.
It would be easier to lay down two sheets than it is to put a duvet cover on it.
That's true.
Yeah. They're really whipping those places around.
Yeah. I mean, then there's people like me who like rock in at 11 hours before check-in and be like, is my room ready yet?
Yeah, I
got to get in there.
Yeah. I'd really love some time to just kind of chill out in my room.
I got the earliest flight in.
It was the cheapest. Yeah, I'm here at 9 a.m.
I know check-in's at 2, but I got to go to the toilet. Let me in there.
I want to ditch these bags. Yeah. I need a nap. I've been up.
So Adelaide, how long was that run there?
I did 5 nights in Adelaide. So
and did you feel like the show changed a bit in that 5 nights?
Yeah, I did. It changed a bit. It didn't change as much as I want. It's hard to like access your brain when you're doing a show. You're like, I'm kind of making notes of things I need to change.
Yep.
But it's hard to kind of implement them at the same time because you're going, oh, I won't be able to remember it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But it's definitely shifted a lot from what it was, what it is now, to what it was in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Well, so was doing that a good, like, way to burn some stuff out of it?
Yeah.
Before this one?
Yeah. And I had a
Sorry, Adelaide.
I put a call out as well because the show is about my time working in town planning. I put a call out on like some town planning groups and they all came.
Oh, really?
But then my whole show was like, fuck town planning. It doesn't mean anything. So it's like, it does feel pretty cheeky to be like, hey, town planners, come see this half cooked show.
Did you get any negative response from
them? They all loved it.
Oh, that's great.
Because they're probably wanting to hear like, you know, someone finally taken down town planning.
Yes, having a bit of juice. Well, I mean, it would be, I think it's frustrations that a lot of people experience. Like the inability, you go into town planning and you think, I'm going to genuinely change the world.
Yeah.
Like control, order, put it on the city, make it better.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, I can't do anything.
I'm just one person.
I'm just looking at bad buildings and saying yes.
Yes.
Strange road design.
Yeah, strange road design. Being like, oh, I guess you can have this apartment building that vaguely matches the codes that we've set.
As a town planner traveling, what did you think of Adelaide's?
Adelaide is a classic example of a city that's been very planned.
Yeah.
Like Australia's most planned cities are kind of Adelaide and Canberra.
Yeah.
I would say two of the least fun cities.
All right, you know.
Not to say that we've made mistakes.
There is something in too much planning.
Yeah. Too much control, I think. And I probably haven't even got to this point with my show yet, but I think the magic of cities is in the chaos and the unexpected and the things that happen. You're just like, whoa, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I didn't see that coming. Or I've just been thrown up against this person and, oh, my God, they happen to be the love of my life. Like, that's where the magic
is. You don't have that in well-structured.
Town planners have never had that.
A city's got to be designed around possible meet cutes.
Possible meet cutes. Yeah. Yes, that's what we want. It's so hard to meet someone in person.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. I don't think it really happens too much anymore. I don't know.
No, people have, like, when they approach me on the street, I've always said no. One time I used to work the Coles self-checkouts.
Yeah, right.
And someone left me a note
Ooh.
On the self-checkout.
Like, what did it say?
It was like, oh, hey, I see you like every day at Coles and you're so beautiful. And like,
wow.
Yeah. And then it was like, this is my email address if you want to organize a meeting at this cafe. And it was like a cafe like directly in front of the Coles in a shopping center. And I just
got to get a bit further away.
Yeah.
I've been left a note once in my life. I lived in Warrnambool for a short amount of time. Ooh. And I was doing uni down there and getting the V line back up to Melbourne.
And in Warrnambool, Bensil, a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm cleaning up down there. On the V line, there was like a full, like kind of family, and then this woman passed me a note for her friend and I just kind of like read it and was like looked over at like six people looking back at me read the note. Oh, it was very awkward.
Are you gonna?
Tick, tick, yes.
Yeah. Did you have to respond on the note?
No. It was, I don't know what the note said. It was just all a bit weird. I think I ended up just moving.
Yeah, run away.
Yeah.
And it feels good to get the note though.
Yeah.
But then it feels bad.
Yes.
Yeah. When you feel like
you've got to deal with it.
Yeah, then you're like, oh.
Depends who's given the note. If you look around and you're like, whoa.
Damn.
But sometimes you look around and you're like, oh. Yikes.
And just like, I always find like the times where I'm getting notes are the times when I'm in relationships anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone wants you when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, rains are paused.
It's the wedding ring thing.
Yeah.
Wear a wedding ring. I mean, people are going to hit on you.
People love it.
Apparently.
Yeah. People want to have affairs.
Have you found that since you've just recently got engaged?
I've just recently got engaged. If
you're watching the video version, she's got the bling on.
The bling's on.
It's blinding.
You weren't wearing it on stage for a bit, but I did. I saw the show last night and I was like, the ring's back.
It's a different ring.
Is it?
Yeah.
Stage ring.
So this is my real ring.
Yep.
My partner proposed with a ring.
Yep.
And I hated it.
That's great.
Okay.
But I'd always wanted this ring. It's my grandmother's. Okay. When my granddad got it first engaged, she got a bigger one afterwards. But this was her starter engagement ring. And nice. I just always thought it was really nice.
I've never heard that before. That's great.
Yeah, because when you like, I think back then you'd get engaged at like 21.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have no money whatsoever. No.
Yep.
When I got this resized, the band, and the jeweler did say, oh, you had that precious tiny ring. I'm like, okay, it's not too tiny. And actually, I'm getting this ring because the ring that my fiance bought me originally had too big a diamond. It was too flashy.
It's actually too good.
Yeah, it was blinding everyone on stage. Is this too sparkly under the lights?
No, it's great.
Okay, no, it's great. I noticed it and I was just like, oh, it's like, it works well. It worked well with the outfit.
Oh,
it was
great. Yeah, the ring's back. It does feel a little bit like it ages you.
Yeah.
Being an engaged comedian. You're like, God, I'm such a I mean, I'm also talking about how I'm 31. But you're like, oh, that's like a grown-up thing to do.
Yeah, get engaged.
Getting engaged, getting married.
Yeah, I think, well, you're finally doing it.
I don't think we'll get married. But,
You got the ring.
I got the ring.
You don't need the
There's
rest
an
of it.
Intent there one day you if do, we have time.
Maybe a bit of elope, you know, just.
I would definitely elope.
Yeah, just get it sorted.
I can't think of anything I want to do less than plan a wedding.
Oh,
I already planned for my day job, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm already planning cities.
I'm planning whole town.
Weddings.
Oh, you want me to come down?
Just one room? Are you kidding?
And I'm telling you, I keep messing it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to look back on that and be full of regret.
I just can't think of anything worse than trying to organize a wedding. Because of all the ones I've participated in and been to, it just seems like such a nightmare.
Mm.
Like there's so much stuff. And then there's so many like familial dramas you have to deal with and who's sitting at what table and all that.
The seating arrangement thing seems to be like
massive stress.
Massive stress. You're like, oh, well, this person doesn't get on with this person. Or these two used to be a couple. It's like, let them figure that out. Just sit wherever.
Sit wherever. Do whatever you want. It just seems I can't imagine a world where I throw a wedding and I get to have fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
100%.
The way I like to socialize is I have, you know, distinctly different groups of friends.
Yeah.
Pockets.
And not once has it ever worked well trying to combine them.
Yeah. Sure.
Because you're always like, they stick to their own groups.
Yeah.
And then you get to be like a quarter involved in every group.
Yeah, you got to help them all.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, I think I've had that in the past where I've had like a bigger birthday.
Mm.
And I think I kind of have these two distinct groups of friends, which is comedy, music, metal. Normal people, like yeah. the people I hang out with outside of comedy. And then there's obviously a few other little yeah. groups in there. And I think I've had a birthday a few years ago. It was like two sides of the room and I'm just bouncing in between.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's a bit more it's mixed like a
school
now.
Disco.
Yeah.
Boy and, wall, girl wall.
Yeah. And you always feel like when I've had that, you get the two sides of the room and then whatever side I'm on, the other side is like, ha, ha, ha. Like, they're like yucking it up. And then you go over there and it's dead and you're like, what, am I?
Bumming out yeah. my own birthday.
Yeah. Am I ruining this? I'm the ones that brought you together.
I had a... My partner threw me a surprise 30th, which was very fun. But like literally every person from like every group I associate with was there, including like both sides of my very divorced family. Mm. So it was like I had lots of fun, but I was literally like, I don't think I had a meaningful conversation with one person that night because I was literally just like, bouncing around, thanks for coming, oh, sorry. And then someone would be like, yeah, have a beer. And I was like, oh, great. Like,
yeah,
and
then
just off to that next conversation the entire time.
Well, the numbers, like, you got to limit the numbers, I think. Oh, yeah.
You got to limit the numbers. You got to be very, like, almost not the whole groups.
Mm. Or, like, representative from each.
Yeah. We're doing a model UN.
Yeah, you get one delegate for this party.
Yeah, please choose your representative. They will come. I would love it if that's how parties were structured.
That would be a great way to structure a wedding too.
Yeah,
There needs to be more templates for parties.
Yeah, more rules.
Yeah. I'm having this kind of party and maybe that's why people do like those murder mystery parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're quite fun.
You come, you're in character, that's it.
Do you know what those are good for? I did one in lockdown with, I'm going to say, probably hasn't been on the podcast yet, but friend of the podcast, Jordan Barr.
Yep.
And they did a murder mystery party during lockdown on Zoom and I just joined in because they didn't have enough people for all of the characters. But it's just me and all of Jordan's friends.
Awesome.
And it's so easy to fit in with a group of friends when you've got a clear role that you
know. Oh, yeah.
Did you get like pre-story, like backstory?
I think we got it like once we joined the Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah. But then you have to like text everyone off the Zoom.
And be oh,
like,
really?
Hey, I heard that like Cheryl and Bill are having like marital problems.
Gotcha.
Because everyone has like their little bits of information.
Sure.
But now I have all of Jordan's friends' numbers in my phone, but with like the most weird messages. Like,
all murder mystery content.
Yeah. Do you know Ashley?
Yeah, that's fun. I like that. Maybe we could do a murder mystery podcast episode.
Yeah, we're
going
to do.
Do it. When should you get the Patreon going?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that. Start paying.
Yeah. Scuff up.
Yeah.
You send us cash in an envelope.
That'd be good if you had just like a lockbox.
Yeah.
That's our Patreon.
Just dump money in this box, please.
So how many shows left did you say you have?
How many shows left? What is 22 minus 8? 12? No,
that'd be minus 10.
10.
Mm. 14.
14.
That's a lot. That's
three
a lot
maths experts.
Yeah. I'll cut that bit out.
Like town planner, qualified teacher.
Well, I dropped out of high school, so I'm all good.
Hey, you're a doctor.
Yeah, I have a PhD. Well, PhDs, they're a trick.
Yeah.
No one that has one is genuinely smart. All you have to be is persistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about.
Bang
just
your head
keep going to school.
Just keep going. Just keep going.
Don't stop ever.
But it's hard now when you're like, I have a PhD.
Mm.
And, you know, like comedy is really hard. Sometimes you want to rethink your life and you're like, what else would I do? Maybe there's something else that I would find it like enjoyable. But I cannot go back to uni. You can't have a PhD and then go back and do another bachelor's.
Yeah.
Well, that's insane. To a friend of mine the other day, she's a lawyer and she's going back to study horticulture and is just doing a cert four. And she's like, it's actually like kind of nice to just.
Yeah.
I'm just in the dirt now. I'm just in the muck. No more crimes.
Yeah.
Well, I've like swiftly vanished away from any teaching at all, got my teaching degree and then just immediately stopped doing what it was designed to teach me to do.
Do you always find, like, the thing that surprises me about teaching is that to me, it's like that is having to do public speaking.
Oh yeah,
all day, every day.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I think
for a job.
Well, and it's like not only that, it's like you're dealing with kids' mental health. You're dealing with all this other stuff. You're dealing with like it's so hard.
It couldn't imagine answers to questions.
Yep. Couldn't imagine a harder job.
Yeah,
I mean, I really liked doing it when I was doing it, but I think. I think I like doing it because of like performing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, these kids are so easy to make laugh. Okay.
And they gotta be here.
Yeah.
And I'm the boss. So. Yeah.
That's how I found out I was funny when I started working office jobs and I just didn't want to work. So I'd be like cracking jokes in the open planned office, like, ha 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 ha. And everyone's trapped. So they're just the best audience you've ever had. They think you're so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody wants to work.
The work laugh is a good one too because you know, you're doing references and stuff as well. So it's good shit.
Yeah. Me and Serlo emceed a work party on a boat.
Yes, we did. I forgot about that.
Yeah. We were both dressed up.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
We did trivia.
We did trivia.
And it was like
shooting fish in a barrel.
It was so easy.
I would love to know if there's a comedian that hasn't been roped into hosting a trivia for work.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Well, they always want you to do it.
They want to fly me up to Sydney to do the Sydney part. I was like, I don't know anyone there. Lock me in 4 months in advance. Yeah. I'm like, I'm busy.
I was the head of the social committee.
I
was like planning this relatively extravagant party. And which ended up not being extravagant at all, really, in the end. It was one of those things where it was like, let's do this thing. We'll go on a yacht in Port Phillip.
Leaving from Docklands.
And we're like in, like the pictures of it are like so lovely. And then you go there and it's like, Port Phillip is just a shipping port. Yeah. Like it's not, there's nothing nice to look at.
It's also, not the Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
Also, we got dark very quick. And then the view is
rain.
Yeah,
pissed rain. The whole time.
And like the boat, not very well stocked with drinks and stuff.
Yeah,
like
ran out of some booze.
Yeah, and then it was just like Carlton Draft
the beer the whole time.
Yeah. I had a work party on a boat, and it was exactly like that.
Probably the same boat.
Probably the same boat. And the only drinks left at the end were cruisers, and I've just never seen so many like late 50s managers necking these guava cruisers because you can't get off.
That was the thing. We were
the bathroom situation.
The
horrendous. Bathroom.
Oh, bad.
And because it was raining so much, I think their whole thing was like the capacity of the boat's 120. And I was like, great, this is going to be massive. And we got on there and I was like, if you fit in 120 people in this fucking thing, you're crazy. Because and I think it was 120 like weight limit, like that's how the max you can have. And it was so full. And their whole thing was like, oh, usually people are outside, it's just because it's raining. I was like, you have to prepare for that.
Yeah,
it's fucking Melbourne, it rains all the time.
Like at least have a little shade sail or something.
Yeah, we were basically trapped on there. The trivia, we had to like cut the trivia short because people were getting too rowdy.
Yeah.
We kind of lost the room.
Yeah. That happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
We've all lost a room at some point.
Yeah. It's, it was fun, but just like chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A person who will remain nameless got in trouble from the captain of the ship because a person was swinging off the rafters while Bon Jovi was playing.
You play Bon Jovi, you get Bon Jovi madness. Yeah. So what are you expecting? My school semi-formal was on a boat.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that bizarre?
That is weird.
A bunch of kids like...
And everyone's sneaking alcohol and then puking off the side and getting to claim seasickness.
Maybe that's why they put it on a boat. They're like, these kids are going to get pissed. We need a vomit area.
Yeah, it's vomit. So, no one has to clean it up, just straight into the ocean.
In Canberra, where I went to school, you go to one school until year 10 and then you go to another school for year 11 and 12.
Really?
It's bizarre.
It's like America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get two formals though. You get a year 10 formal and a year 12 formal. Yeah.
We did two.
Oh, you did two? Okay.
Well, I did the 10 and then left. And then I did someone else's dare, but another school.
We did 11 and 12 semi-formal.
Oh,
okay.
Formal. Yeah, the funny thing though is like the year 10 one was like everyone sneaking booze in year 10 and then in year 12 just half the people left because they were 18.
Yeah.
So like as soon as like the bits of the formal that they wanted to attend were finished, they all just fucked off and went to the pub.
And went out. I mean, that's nice. So in Queensland, you finished school at 17.
Yeah.
and I turned 17 in October.
Yeah, right.
So my whole first year of uni, I couldn't even.
Yeah,
brutal. Up.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's wild.
Best grades. That's the start of me PhD. On my yeah. That started me on that academic trajectory. Yeah,
there's something in that.
Yeah, and then it slowly just kind of tails off.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you set yourself up with that one good year, it can sustain you for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So. Okay, I don't mind that at all.
Get back into it, mate. Still time.
Yeah.
Hey, I got my Cert 4 in training and assessment.
Yeah. I didn't mind it either because it was like the time where everyone was really going clubbing.
Yeah.
And I always preferred the pre-drinks anyway.
Sure.
Yes.
And like going home after the pre-drinks, you're like heaven.
Yeah.
I've had the best time.
Yeah.
I've not had it reach that point where the fights start happening and there's.
Well, going clubbing with like underage, I had a fake ID.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like. Oh, I don't know. It's just like, oh, yeah, I'm not meant to be here. There's a reason.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It just felt a bit too much. Like, I remember getting the train from into the city and going to a nightclub on King Street and being 17, wearing a suit jacket over a T-shirt and going like, yeah, I don't fit in.
Well, this is what grown-ups wear, right? Suit jackets.
I couldn't even get a fake ID because people didn't trust my real ID when I got it. They'd be like, you look 12. Like, there's no way that this is real.
Yeah, I could grow a goatee in year 10.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That must be nice.
Yeah.
We did a tour once and played a show on the Gold Coast, and it was back when the Gold Coast was like, I mean, I suppose Gold Coast probably is still psycho like that, but it was, we went out after the show thinking like, oh, let's go to a bar or something, not really knowing, again, being somewhat young and from Canberra, that like, Surfers Paradise is all it's cracked up to be. It's like
it's rough.
Coked up fuckheads just going psycho. Yeah. That's what it is. So everywhere we went to go to get into, we just like, we're getting turned away because we look like this.
Yeah.
And one of the guys from my band showed his ID and it was a Canberra P plate ID. And the guy goes, this isn't real. And he was like, yeah, it is. That's my P plate like license. And he goes, no, it's not. And then he goes, we're confiscating this because it's illegal. And then he couldn't, then it was like a week of back and forth with the like Gold Coast cops to get his ID back. And we had to catch a plane the next day. And there was all this like hoo-ha about him getting on the plane.
They used to really check the ID when you got on a plane.
They never checked it. They
never do anymore. It's like, yeah, just fucking get on.
Well, that was the thing too, back in the day when you used to like to change names on a ticket, it'd be like a real rigmarole and cost lots of money. And I think the thing now is like, who gives a fuck? Just take the boarding pass.
Yeah. It's getting very close to the bus.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they're treating you on some of those airlines now, Jetstar is fucking crazy.
I haven't done it. I can't do it.
I won't. I mean, I just, because of the couple times where I've like been forced to, where it's like.
No other option.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I'll do all the work.
Yeah.
It is insane.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, I think air travel used to be this whole.
Decadent.
It used to be special. And now it's just like, I mean, I do get the idea of like, yeah, people need to go places and it can be cheap. Like, yes. But are we really just in the. The cattle class, like, it's really getting gotten
bad. Just some level of just treating me like a normal human being.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone on a few Jetstar flights and they're delayed by 7 hours and they just give you no information about that.
Yeah.
Are you like, okay, so I'm just hanging out at the airport for 7 hours and then I've got to spend 2 weeks with my family at Christmas. Like, why would you do that to me?
And not even a text to say it's delayed.
Yeah.
What?
I would have just not come until
check on my email at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah. I don't think so. I'm here.
When I came back from Newcastle, the recent place I went on Jetstar was Newcastle. And when I was coming back, like got into Newcastle Airport, which has like two, you know, terminals and a red rooster. Like that's it. And I got it like the second I walked in, it was like delayed by 2 hours. I was like,
I mean, how long does
that's
it take?
That's a lot of red rooster. You have to do one of those YouTube, like, eat the menus.
Just really put that Jetstar toilet to work.
I've never had a chicken and gravy roll and not needed to shit myself. Like, that's a time killer, actually. Yeah.
That's how I should have spent the 2 hours.
Just call it a detox.
I was busy shitting myself to death in the Newcastle Airport.
Fucking hell.
And then the staff like, this guy loves his red rooster. Like, he's coming back.
He's got like 10 ripper rolls back there.
Like he can't be full.
Well, Next time.
Next time.
I got to say, like, I saw the show last night.
You did see the show.
And loved it. Like,
Thank you, man.
Not just saying that because you're a good friend of mine, but I think seeing the trial and then, like, it was like a really nice experience to have seen the trial and going, like, okay, I can see what Prue's trying to do. And there was, you know, and then heard a few jokes, like, at gigs we've done together. Yeah. And then, like, to see it show in this, like, awesome form. I thought it, like, flowed really well.
Oh,
and it's,
you.
Like, so... I would say the biggest difference from last year to this year is, like, it's so personable this year. Like, I really got a sense of you and, like, it was great, like, seeing the crowd around you react to the show as well. Like, people maybe not so familiar with you. It's like they really locked into you as a person. Like, yeah, so it's, like, quite an achievement.
I think that might be why I'm having more fun this time. It seems like
you're having a great time up there. Yeah.
It is much more me instead of being like, these are my jokes.
Sit down, please.
Yes. Yeah. And this is my order. Yeah. And
well, that's, like, very much first year show. It's like, this is everything I got.
Yeah. This is what I've been thinking. And, like, I don't know. And, yeah, just really questioning it. This year it's been fun, and it's been fun interacting with people. I mean, it was a nice last night. I thought I had 10 tickets sold, and then it was much fuller than that, which was great. I love when you hear people like filing in and there's chatter, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, if it's silent, you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
But it's been really nice. I've had a lot of I play Missy Higgins exclusively at the top for the pre-show. And there'll often be a girl that's just singing along. I'm like, you are gonna love this show.
I gotcha.
She's in. My fan, she's in. But it is crazy how much more work it is to produce a show that flows well and, like, has rhythm and, like, a story. And
you worked with a director.
With a director. I asked heaps of friends. I would say, like, my director, Maggie, has been really great. But the biggest thing I had to learn for this show compared to the last one is you just don't have to take everyone's advice.
Yes.
And just be like, I'm just going to do what I think is fun or works. Or
And getting to a point where you're, like, confident with that as well.
And being like, this is what I want to say and it's me. And a lot of people, you know, with comedy, they'll give you notes and then they'll just totally contradict each other.
Yes.
And so you're going, well, I guess that's just what you want and that's what you want.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing too is, like, it's different sensibilities as well.
Yeah.
They're probably, you know, at the end of the day, it's for the people who are watching it as much as, like, it is for people to share their opinion.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The people who are watching it are going to have a different reaction to someone who's giving you feedback anyway.
Yeah, and everyone that's giving you feedback, they're normally people that have seen a lot of comedy and then have particular ideas of what they want and things like that. And sometimes you're like, I just want to do the stuff that I find funny.
Yeah.
Well, nothing, have a good time. Nothing worse than getting a note that you, like, hate.
Yeah.
Like, I got a note on a joke the other day, of this joke about a locksmith and
I love that joke. The French locksmith.
And a guy gave me a note. He's like, what if instead of, like, because it was so expensive, you're like, oh, that's too expensive, so I called a glazier to, like, break a window. I'm like, but yeah, then the rest of the joke doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why are you giving me that note?
Yeah.
You're telling me a different story.
Yeah. I found, you'd get a lot of notes like that, or I'd get a lot of suggestions where it's like, oh, you could say this. And then I'm like, yeah, that's funny. And then I try it, and just because it wasn't in my voice, it just wouldn't work at all.
Big time.
And you're like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, that would be funny if someone else did it.
Yeah.
That is also a joke.
Yeah, that's also a joke. And then there's
If you want to pop up and tell that one and then just jump out real quick. Probably work great.
This is like a little, like, half an hour interlude. Like a do. But I like doing a show that has a little bit of something, but it is still a stand-up show. Like, I feel, you know, festival at the moment, everyone's got screens and PowerPoints and
a lot of AV.
A lot of AV.
Yeah, a lot of people fucking toiling in After Effects.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which, I mean, that, I guess that's its own thing, and it's great.
It is good, and it gives a great sense of how much work you've put into it. But sometimes isn't it nice to just have an hour off any screens?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's impressive when I go to a stand-up show and I can lock in and just be in the show. in the story.
Well, I think we talked a little bit about it with our, in our last episode with Eloise, where her show is very much a few different things. Mm. And I think the pure stand-up is like, for me, that's what I grew up like really loving. Mm. And that's what I still love to see someone just do the full hour of just like,
yeah, talking.
And like, I think that's what I really liked about your show as well, is that I was like, you've kind of like leveled up a little bit. Aww. I feel like, oh, like, and I wish I didn't say little bit just then. I think you've leveled up. I'm going that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was full promotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, and because you fit, like, I think the way that you talked through your ideas, I think that kind of really worked like really well. It was awesome. But so I think that's what I really love about when you see a show. And I remember a few years ago, like seeing Damien Power, he's really like, it's just 1 hour.
Yeah,
just chat. Like, there's no little breaks or interludes or anything. It's like, it's impressive. It's
That's so what
impressive.
I love.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I mean, and I think the other thing too is just like the confidence to build into that. Like you were saying before, like doing little bits of 20 minutes, maybe like the longest opportunity that you get to do these things, and then stretching it into, you know, one cohesive thing is pretty. You know, that's a lot of work to get it to that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of trial and error. I mean,
there's
as many flops as there are successes. And I think being all right with, like, this is the other thing for this year, when you do trial shows, being like, well, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And that is useful.
Yeah, yeah. More I need useful, to know what is bad.
And if it's just okay and you kind of, like, sit back and go, well, okay, it's good enough for me or... Mm. So it's been good to have that opportunity. And I did feel with this show, like a lot of the thesis is that we don't solve problems anymore. We just cover them up.
Mm-hmm.
Like put the lipstick on the concrete pig. And I felt then that for the show, I couldn't have like a screen or little bleep bloops.
Yeah.
Because
that
was doing the exact thing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You got to stick to your guns.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, really set myself up on my moral pedestal.
I'm living by the sword. Yeah. What, I'm dying by it?
Yeah, that's how I'm going to end the show now. It's real impale.
Japanese really were onto something with that.
Sounds rad.
Your show last year had some level of like interactivity.
Yeah, I guess there was a bit of crowd work in it.
Yeah.
And I think that was, and it sort of like varied show to show, I think. And I mean, I had one bit where I have cards, like drawings that I did. And I never do that I've never done that bit with the cards in a club spot. Set. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Just because it's a fucking muck around.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, I think that's the closest I've got. I mean, I think there is something in a festival show where you can play with that a little bit.
Yeah.
But it feels like now more than ever there's like very tech heavy shows. And I suppose like I was talking about this with someone the other day where it's like, you know, I would say I'm a stand up comedian and then there is comedian. I don't know. Like you don't say AV comedian.
Yeah.
I don't know what really the name for that is, or even if you need to have a name, like, I guess there's just, if you'd look at the comedy festival 10 years ago, it would be very just stand up.
Yeah.
Or, and then the other shows would be, like, this is a sketch or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But now there's like this kind of almost like hybrid.
Mm.
And I guess that's probably come from online a bit too.
Yeah, it does feel like very geared towards an online audience.
Mm.
Are venues set up to support that though?
It's so expensive.
Yeah,
this is part of the reason why I don't do it.
Yeah. Because I would have thought, like, I mean, from playing shows, like, venues are basically a box.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I'm running a venue this year or helping run a venue with my mate Zach, who I run Catfish with. We're having shows at the venue when we're not doing our Tuesday show. And we have most shows, the shows that we're doing this year are using the projector.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's just already there.
Yeah.
But when we put out our agreements and stuff, we're like, if you got any other stuff you want to do, that's on you.
Yes.
We're not doing it.
We can't help.
And we have one show, which is Goxie, who's doing more like a Tonight show.
Yeah, yeah.
But really that is just a desk with a few props on it. So,
yeah.
But other than that, it's pretty pretty stock standard.
Oh, I mean, I just think like the amount of like rigmarole you must have to go to get all that shit going and then hope that it works.
Yeah.
While also trying to make sure that you're being funny. Like, yeah, and then, it's so many things to manage at once.
You like, I want to be in a nice headspace going into the show instead of like, oh my God, like pull this out, set this up, do this, start it up.
It's full on. Yeah. Like, and also like, I guess with a stand-up show, if you're like running a bit late, you can be like, oh, I'm just going to cut this one bit and then I'll still end on time. Like, I was in at Republic last night and just chatting to the crew there, like, how's it going? And, you know, you guys stay insane during the festival. And they're like, yeah, it's great. The three shows that we have here are all just stand-up, no AV, no nothing. He's like, it's actually sick this year. Like, not that it wasn't great last year. But, yeah, he was just like, it's nice. Luke behind the bar there was just saying it's nice this year, just easy.
Yeah, I was talking to the upstairs Luke, Tech Luke, at Comedy Republic the other day. And he was like, it's great, just kind of like doing my taxes during the show. Like, you know, I'm on the tech desk, but I'm like doing emails.
Loving
the shows. Of course, loving the shows. But
you can only watch them so many times.
They don't change that much.
Yeah.
It does. You do get a bit conscious, like having the tech in the room. I love my tech this year as well. And I've got a great front of house person, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
But you do feel conscious of like, I'm really sorry that you have to. It's annoying because I'm like, I saw you be impressed with it the first couple of times. And now it's just like, like a diminishing rate of returns as you watch it over and over and over again.
I think last year people actually thought I was like working for you because I was there so often.
How many times did you go?
I don't know. It was probably maybe 10.
Yeah. Wow. We were just hanging.
We were just hanging out.
And I guess being at the Belfry last year, which was a venue on Brunswick Street. Matt Wants, who used to be involved with Coopers and stuff, it was his bar for a while.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not there anymore. But it's like the only time in my life where it's like, I know someone with a bar.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be there all the time.
And I like drinking. So and it was I was there too.
And I love that somebody knows that. I know that person. I'm in it.
Hey, Matt, how long till we can close the door and I can smoke a cigarette inside?
That is what you thought the city would be, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you're in the bar, you know everyone in it.
Yes.
You're just living life.
Yeah, it is like a nice experience. Like being in the city last night, like it is a bit different. Like the festival's on, the city's buzzing. Mm. And it's like, oh, this is what I would imagine a city to be like. Like all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's like I'm running into people and like Dan, my housemate, was out with me and it's like, oh, I ran into all these people I know because comedy festival's on. And I'm like, it's not like this all the time.
You're seeing people every...
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is, I'm throwing Dan under the bus here. But he's like, there's so many attractive women around. I'm like it's all mixed at this time of year. Like,
yeah, they're all the comedians.
Yeah, the actors are like normally not here.
It is. It is great what it does to the city. Even Adelaide Fringe, when I was there, like the venue I was at was Rhino Rooms, which is a great comedy venue.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit out of the main festival area, which I didn't know until I'd done like three nights. And then I had a spot on the weekend in the actual festival area. And you're going, oh, that's massive and vibrant. And it just happens to be like three blocks away from where this venue was.
I've played the Rhino Room. I played a hardcore show, which was pretty funny.
We were talking about this the other week because is that a new thing for them to do? Like,
yeah, it must be. But the show was really good, but it was like, they definitely hadn't figured out how to do like,
music.
Yeah. Like, and they, particularly the sound.
Yeah.
Which
What's the PA like in there?
Not great.
Not great. I think it was like, I think it would be fine, but I think the guy didn't really know what he was doing.
Well, it's stand up like, quality. What do you need for stand up? Up and down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even if you have a musical comedian, it's like a piano that you probably don't have to.
Well, it's kind of the reverse problem of like what you have during comedy festival where it's like, you get a tech and you're like, oh, yeah, it's just this up and down. It's like they used to like micing up drums and all this stuff. It's like,
they're getting so bored. Yeah. Like.
Oh, man. But I think the biggest thing was, I don't know how it was set up when you were there, but the sound guy was it was in the upstairs room, the big room upstairs. The sound guy was to the side. So if the stage is here, the sound guy was like here, not this way. And I was like, brother, you got to get out in front. Like,
you've got to be hearing what the crowd is hearing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't want your left ear hearing the side of the band.
Well, we even had that in my room. I went to see a show before mine.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and they had some they had a few people with access issues and like they hadn't really fully planned for it, so they had to open a door and then they put up the sound, and then where the tech is sitting is kind of in like a little pocket, like cut into the wall.
Yeah.
And so I had to talk to the buttons. I was like, it was so loud.
Oh, man.
Like I couldn't focus.
Yeah.
The microphone was so loud on the show.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
But sometimes keep it up, guys.
Yeah, they're doing a great job, but I was like, it would be remiss of me not to say.
I got to give you some feedback.
I can't.
Feedback is a gift.
Yeah. Well, especially like sitting in your own room, you're like, well, I don't want that to be happening for my show.
Well, that was like at the show that I played, I was like watching the bands that play before us, and I was like, when I got up there, when we played, he came up and was like asking about what we wanted, and I was like, I'm going to need the bass turned like way down, man.
Yeah.
Like you've got that pumping out there.
Yeah. And that's part of a gift of experience too, where you're like, I kind of know what I want now. If I have to be a bit of a bitch to get it,
that's fine.
I'll do it. Yeah.
I don't care if people don't
I've
like
suffered
me.
For too many times.
Part of the job.
Yeah.
I got plenty of friends. Yeah, I don't need to make a new one here.
We only need, this is a business relationship. Yeah. That's not a, you know, financially fruitful business relationship, but it is a business relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm working.
Yes, I'm working.
Have you been able to see many shows in the festival at all?
Or? I've been trying to see one a day.
Okay, that's
so
pretty good.
I've seen a lot of great shows. I feel like there's a really high standard.
Who have you loved so far, if you can?
Ooh, I've really liked a lot, but I haven't found one where I'm like, this is the one I love.
I feel like every year in the festival, there's like around this time, it's like you got to get to this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, if you're trying to get in on a pass, good luck.
Yeah, because it's going to start.
But I haven't quite heard what that is just yet. But I feel like maybe after this weekend, maybe we'll
start
hear a little
getting
bit of tell.
Is this weekend the big weekend? Because like, it's kind of the middle, right?
It's middle.
Yeah, and I think a few people will be out tonight, like, or maybe tomorrow because their runs are ending.
Mm.
Right.
Like, I know at Catfish, like, this will be out on Wednesday, but our runs, like, change over to the next shows. So those three shows that are finishing, you know, we'll sort of celebrate tonight. So maybe tonight will be a bit of a party night.
Bit of a party night. Everyone's out and about.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, so I would love to have a hot tip, but I just don't quite have it yet. I mean, I think Bronwyn Cuss is killing it.
Yeah,
which is great.
One of the greats.
One of the greats. Really funny show. I mean, we clash every year, and I would love to be able to see it.
Yeah. But yeah, I got to see a bit of Bron's last night. She was on the Late Show at Republic, and yeah, she's really ripping at the moment.
Yeah, great.
She's really in the groove. So I don't
love it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah, she's in the groove. She's doing musical comedy.
Yeah. You got a bass on stage.
Slapping the bass.
Yeah.
I would love to see Bron cast just deadpan comedy in a bass. Like.
Yeah. Well, I did this gig down in Mornington with Akmal the other night, and we were just talking in the car. I had to drive him back into the city, which was me and Josh Earl down there, and we were told whoever has the nicest car could drive Akmal back.
Wow.
I still think it was Josh Earl, but...
what did he think of your car? Any feedback?
About 10 minutes away from the city, he goes, these are good cars, aren't they? He goes, he used to have one, apparently.
Wow, so he's a big car guy?
I mean, not. I think he just had, you know, had an appreciation for the Volkswagen Golf. it's pretty good, Nick. Yeah. But he was like, oh, what, you know, just talking about career. And I was like, oh, I used to play in bands, used to play bass. And he goes, have you ever thought about bringing the bass on stage? He's like, there's a good rhythm to that. And I'm like, absolutely not. Couldn't imagine anything worse.
Be funny, do your own little Seinfeld stink the jokes.
That immediately came up. Because that's the only thing.
Connection. Yeah.
What else can you use it for?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe just do
it. Just send a rhythm.
Yeah, musical comedy, not for me.
Yeah.
Love music, love comedy. Together.
Leave
that to Weird Al. That's what I always say.
Yeah, every so often it really works, but it's hard.
I got no time for it.
So. When it's great, it's awesome, but there's a lot of bad musical comedy out there.
I love Tenacious D.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of fun.
But I think they're also just like funny.
Funny guys.
People.
But they're also very talented musicians as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very good at riffing.
It's normally kind of lacking one or the other.
Mm. Yes. Big time.
Like you have a lot of musical talent, but not funny or.
Yeah. Anyway. I played a show once with a band that was touring with Tenacious D.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack Black came to the show to buy weed off our band.
Wow.
So that's oh, my God.
I hope he never washed that hand again. Whoa, the hand that sold Jack Black weed. That's crazy that he would like to smoke.
He had a big security guard who would not let any of us get our phones out.
Wow.
They're like, no phones.
Surely, like, that wouldn't be a career ruiner at this point.
No. I don't know why he... I mean... Probably because it's illegal.
yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, right?
It was ages ago.
Yeah.
It was when they toured with the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And allegedly.
Allegedly this happened.
Yeah, yes. Allegedly this happened.
Sorry, Jack.
Please.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack.
All right. Well, where can people find you? What else have you got coming up apart from the show?
Apart from the show, well, definitely come see the show, which is on for another, 14 nights, whatever we figured out.
Yep.
Concrete Pigs. Follow me on Instagram at Prublake Comedy.
Yep.
I'm also doing the show in Brisbane in May, if you happen to live there.
Is that part of the Brizzy Comedy Festival
at the Powerhouse.
Nice.
Will be pretty cool. Really great venue.
Yeah.
Is that your first time performing there, or have you done it like
it's
a spot there?
My first time. I've done a spot at Good Chat. While ago. But I normally tend to avoid it because my parents want to come to like every spot. it's just a whole thing. Yeah. But I'm hoping all of, you know, any school enemies or university people I knew, prior colleagues, I hope they all come, and it'll probably be tough.
Yeah.
But the bums will be on seats.
Yeah. So if you're in Melbourne, make sure you get along ASAP.
Yes.
Because there's not much of the comedy festival
come.
Left. And then if you're in Brizzy, fucking put it in your diary.
Put it in the diary.
Get down to the Powerhouse.
And then, yeah, I guess just writing another show.
Yeah. And you got a newsletter that comes out?
I've got a newsletter.
Very frequently?
Well, it used to be very frequently. I've kind of slipped recently.
It's tough. Well, you're talking to...
but it's called I Shave My Legs for This on Substack, and there is one that should be coming out soon.
Yeah, great.
And it's just kind of...
Subscribe to that.
Yeah, things that, you know, my various missteps in life and opinions.
Yeah.
Good. And some fun links.
Oh,
what more could you want? Yeah. I procrastinate a lot on the internet, and I like to gift that on to everyone else.
Yeah.
Aaron, what have you got? I think
I've talked about it every goddamn podcast, but Extortion are playing at Howler on the 10th of May. Please buy tickets. That's really the main thing.
It can be a sick show.
Yeah. Otherwise, listen to the bands I'm in.
Yep.
I've talked about them enough. People know what they are.
Yep.
What about you?
Every week. Catfish, come to that. I've got probably one more big show for the festival by the time this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been sick. We've had a lot of the international acts down and just sick interstaters and awesome locals and stuff. So they've been super fun this festival. Had Helen Bauer absolutely fucking tear the roof off last
nice.
Week.
Nice.
One of the biggest crushes I've seen at Catfish.
Wow.
It was fucking awesome. You too could experience.
Wow. The biggest crush.
Yeah. I'm just around doing spots and stuff, and I'm just going to enjoy the rest of the festival, I reckon. Just try and get out there and see some shows, and then check out my website, solo.net.
Really. Actually, I think pushing I forgot that
to
website.
Pay. Yeah, I forgot to pay for it. I need to get it back online.
Yeah, you'd be better now.
Yeah.
You've plugged it.
I've plugged it. That's it.
That's it. Thanks for coming, bro.
Thanks for having me back for a second time.
We did it this time.
The first two-timer on the...
first repeat guest.
Yeah.
But thanks, Prue. Appreciate it. Get along to Concrete Pigs for the rest of the Comedy Fest.
Absolutely do that, please.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.